Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It's Thursday. We are getting towards the weekend, people. Not too far away now till that big, big game at the Emirates on Saturday evening. Arsenal versus Brentford. The chance for Mikel Arteta's side to go top of the Premier League for the first time since Christmas. How big would that be at a Sunday's huge game between Liverpool and Manchester City at Anfield? So we will talk in today's show about a really big week facing Mikel Arteta. Well, I say week, probably more a big few days facing Mikel Arteta, really big for him. First of all, with that game against Brentford, but then the huge, huge game against Porto with lots of questions still hanging over Mikel Arteta, a manager who's never won a European knockout game at the Emirates, which is a remarkable record, really, and one that he will absolutely, well, not, I was going to say absolutely want to get rid of, but he absolutely needs to get rid of on Tuesday night when Arsenal take on Porto at the Emirates in what is a must-win game after that 1-0 defeat in Portugal a few weeks ago. So really big week facing Mikel Arteta. Got some big, big decisions to make in terms of who he starts against Brentford, who he leaves out in preparation for the Porto game. Will he do that? Can he afford to do that? So plenty to discuss on that topic. We'll look at some of the sort of latest injury news. Look, who could come in for the game on Saturday potentially, and I've got some plenty of questions and comments from you guys as well. Also, myself and James Benge are going to be sitting down a little bit later on today to record Inside Arsenal Extra Time. So as usual, if you want to get involved in that, then please do come back, reply to this video in the comments section with your question, your comment, your opinion, whatever it is. We're going to sit down and record it pretty much straight after Mikel Arteta's press conference later this afternoon, which is due to start at 1:30. So we're going to try and record about 2 o'clock. So if you want to be included in that show, you want a chance to be included in that show, then try and get your question or comment down by probably about 1:30 p.m. UK time today, because that's when I'll start collecting them all and putting them together so we can sit down and have our chat straight after Mikel finishes his press conference. Right, let's get started, shall we? And as I said, a really, really big week now for Mikel Arteta. He's got off to the perfect start with that win against Sheffield United on Monday night. Arsenal in fantastic form, obviously, in the Premier League, record-breaking form. And now it's about sort of following that up and getting the job done this week in these two games that are coming up. Arsenal have to win on Saturday against Brentford. They just 100% have got to take advantage of this position of going first this weekend ahead of that huge game at Anfield. They just cannot afford to get either or Manchester City or Liverpool any sort of wriggle room almost in this title race. They just have to get the job done themselves on Saturday, put the pressure on, and then they can kind of sit back, relax a little bit and look ahead to that game on Sunday. But of course, on the horizon as we go into Saturday's game is that massive game against Porto in the Champions League, and it's how Mikel is going to juggle things for those games. Can you play the same team on Saturday than you will on Tuesday? Is that possible? I'm not sure. I think he's got to probably rotate a little bit. You know, he stuck with this same team. He was unchanged again against Sheffield United. He stuck with this team that we're seeing at the moment with sort of Jorginho and Declan Rice playing as the six and the eight. And then you've got Havertz playing as the nine. Obviously, there's going to be one change. We know that, as we spoke about yesterday. Aaron Ramsdale is going to come in goal. But then in terms of the outfield 11 or outfield 10, what are you going to do? Who can you bring in? Who do you think you might need to sort of save their legs a little bit? You know, ideally, Arsenal have Tomiyasu fit right now. They have Zinchenko fit right now. And you can really rotate. You know, I look at Saturday's game and think if Tomiyasu is fit, you bring in Tomiyasu for Saturday and you give Ben White the day off ahead of the game against Tuesday. I think that'd be absolutely ideal for Arsenal. You know, you could do the same as the fullbacks. There's nothing Arsenal can really do at centre-back because of the lack of fullback options. It's not like you can rest Gabriel or someone like that, or rest Saliba and play Kivior as a centre-back. You're pretty much going to have to play Kivior at left-back this weekend. So you're a little bit limited in terms of what you can change defensively, but you've got a few more options going forward that you could go for. I look at Leandro Trossard, for example. I think, is this a game for Leandro Trossard on Saturday against Brentford? Because Jorginho has been so crucial to Arsenal's success in recent games. He's been playing so, so well. But at his age, can he play Saturday and then Tuesday as well and be absolutely tip top and bang on it? I'm not sure. I think you'd maybe give Jorginho the night off against Brentford, certainly from the starting 11. And then it's like, what do? Do you play Trossard in that left eight role? It's not a position I like to see him playing in, I have to say. You've got Gabriel Martinelli's injury to take into account as well. And if Gabriel Martinelli is out, which we might find a little bit later on today in the press conference, then Trossard might well play on the left-hand side. You'd probably suggest he will, in fact, play on the left-hand side in place of Martinelli. So that's going to sort of come into the reckoning and come into what Mikel Arteta's thinking about. If Jorginho doesn't make it, or if he decides to rest Jorginho ahead of the game against Porto, which it feels like might be a decent option for me, then you've got Emile Smith-Rowe. Obviously, he can play. He didn't get any minutes against Sheffield United. Fabio Vieira came on, played well, I thought, in the second half. He played on the right-hand side, though, in place of Bukayo Saka in that game against Sheffield United. Looked pretty sharp, given it was his first game in, 4 months or whatever it is. So he could be potentially an option on the left eight role where you could play alongside Martin Odegaard. As I said, Smith-Rowe played there very well, I thought, against Nottingham Forest. Showed he could, you know, every time he's come on recently, I think Smith-Rowe's looked very, very sharp. I kind of look at it. I mean, Thomas Partey, forgetting about Thomas Partey, he is back now, but I don't think he looked really, really rusty, Thomas Partey, in that game against Sheffield United. There was a couple of nice passes from him, but he did look understandably rusty given how long he's been out for. So I don't really factor Thomas Partey into the equation when I'm thinking about who could potentially start against Sheffield United. But some big decisions for Mikel Arteta. And when I say this is such a big week for him, and it is a huge week, you know, he's got some real tests he's got to try and pass in the next few days. Getting the team selection right for Brentford, making sure Arsenal get the result they absolutely need on Saturday, but also taking that game against Porto into account and making sure when it comes to choosing your 11 for Porto, you've got 11 players in absolutely peak condition, because it is going to be such an intense game at the Emirates. You know, Porto, we saw what they were like in Portugal, how they approach that game. It's going to be exactly the same next week. They're going to try and stifle Arsenal. They're going to try and frustrate Arsenal. They're going to try and slow the game down. They're going to try and con the referee. They're going to, all those dark arts that we know go on in European football, they are going to be on it from the start. Arsenal are going to have to keep their heads. They're going to have to play really, really intense and try and just blow through Porto. Something they didn't do in Portugal. It was all too slow. It was all too one-paced. And that allowed Porto to sort of set their stall out and do what they did. You know, I think it's going to be very, very different. I think Arsenal are going to approach it almost like a Premier League game, like we've seen them approach Premier League games recently against Newcastle when they were so on it from the start. The away games when they scored early against Burnley and Sheffield United, I think that's what they're going to try and do on Tuesday night, get the crowd on it. I keep saying Tuesday night. I'm actually presuming it is Tuesday night. I haven't actually checked it. It's suddenly running through my head as I'm talking. It's like, is it Tuesday night that Arsenal are playing? I think it is. It's going to be such an intense game. And for Arteta, it's just so, so crucial that he gets this done. You know, you sort of went into this season, the improvement Arsenal made, the work that's gone on under Arteta has just been undeniable. It's been so impressive. He's turned Arsenal into what, is it too early to call them serial title contenders? It's 2 years in a row, but they certainly appear to be on that track. You know, you wouldn't bet against them next season mounting another title charge, put it that way. And just a few years ago, that felt totally unrealistic, but that's what's happened under Mikel Arteta and Edu and the board and the way Arsenal are operating now. As they managed to turn things around, they've built this impressive squad and they look like they're capable of competing for the top honours season after season, which is fantastic. But in Europe, his record's been poor. It has been. There's no other way of putting it. I mean, the fact he hasn't won a knockout game at the Emirates is, in these 4 years he's been at Arsenal, admittedly one of the years they weren't even in Europe, but it's just a record he will absolutely want to get off his back, and he needs to get off his back, because if Arsenal don't win, if they don't go through against Porto, it's going to be a huge, huge missed opportunity. I look at this Champions League. I watched the game against last night, the Real Madrid game, who I thought Madrid were poor. Leipzig on another day with better decision-making. Leipzig go through. You know, they can feel really unlucky, I think, over the two legs that Leipzig lost that game. I thought they were better than Real Madrid yesterday, but Real Madrid just had that know-how and they managed to get themselves through even though they were poor. And that's what they do, and that's why I always go so deep into the competition. But, you know, aside from Manchester City, maybe Inter Milan, who are looking really, really impressive and obviously got to the final last year as well and so strong defensively and are scoring lots of goals this season. I just look at who's left in that competition. I just think this Arsenal team's capable of beating them and going really, really fast. So if they were to go out against Porto in the first knockout round, it would be such a huge disappointment and such a wasted and missed opportunity. And so for Arteta, it's just massive that he gets this team selection right. He gets the big decisions right. And he gets this monkey off his back of not being able to win a home European game and go through. Because if he does that, I think the belief Arsenal will get as they go in deep into this competition, I really think they think that they can win this tournament. And so, it's a huge week. It's really interesting. It's what it's all about, isn't it? Again, you sort of go back a few years and you kind of dreamt of being in this situation, didn't you, again, of being in the mix in the title race, going into a knockout game in the Champions League, thinking you've got a chance of winning the tournament if you can get through. And that's where Arsenal want to be. It's where Arsenal should be. And now, it's about sort of keeping your nerve in these big, big weeks and getting the job done. It's going to be really interesting to see how Arsenal get on in these games.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Injury-wise, we'll wait and see what Mikel says today in his press conference about Tomiyasu at the end of the game against Sheffield United. In that press conference, he said that Tomiyasu's back out on the grass. He's doing some stuff, and he was very, very close. So will this week be too soon for him? Will Porto be too soon for him? Potentially, but you would think. And I haven't looked to see who Japan have got during the international break or if they've got any fixtures, which they might not have because they're coming off the back of the Asian Cup. We'll have to wait and see. But you would hope, if Tomiyasu isn't involved in these two games for Arsenal, that he certainly doesn't go away with Japan and that he can continue to work on his fitness, and then he will be back for the Man City game and the remainder of the season. So we'll wait and see on that, on the team news. Obviously, we'll get an update from Gabriel Martinelli as well. Be interesting to see if there's anything said about Gabriel Jesus, because there were some suggestions that he wasn't looking entirely comfortable after his second half cameo against Sheffield United on Monday night. We'll wait and see if Zinchenko is close to a return as well, or potentially will be returning this weekend as well. So the latest team news coming up, myself and James Benj will discuss exactly what Mikel Arteta had to say during Inside Arsenal Extra Time a little bit later on today. Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments before we wrap this one up. Abilo87 says, hi, Charles. Incredible show as always. Thank you very much. We're still talking about Arsenal's need for a striker in the summer, but I feel that recent weeks have shown that we have three players in Jesus, Havertz and Trossard who all thrive in that position and each gives us something different. I personally feel our focus in the summer should be a number six to replace Partey and a winger who can play on both sides to compete with Saka and Martinelli. if we generate good revenue from sales, then by all means, I wouldn't say no to a top striker joining. But I do feel with Partey's injury record and lack of cover on the wings that those areas of the squad should be top priority. Yeah, look, I don't disagree. I think Arsenal should sign a striker this summer, but I absolutely think those two positions that you've brought up, they should sign as well. For me, that's it. That's the three additions Arsenal need to make. Get yourself a top striker. Get yourself a winger who can play on either wing and can really give yourself proper cover that you really, really trust, which I don't think Arsenal have at the moment, to replace Bukayo Saka when needed. And yeah, a central midfielder is, again, a must. And I do feel, from what I understand as well, that those are the areas that Arsenal are going to target. You know, we know they like Zubimendi. We've talked about that at Real Sociedad. Not saying it will be easy to get that one done, even with that release clause. But he is a player they admire and are looking at. And it wouldn't surprise me if they push the button and try and get it done this summer. We'll have to wait and see. Again, a winger, we've talked about that. I think Arsenal will definitely try and target that position once again. They've targeted it in recent windows. They've not been able to get it over the line. You think of Neto previously, you think of Rafinha, you know, they've tried to get that done, but they haven't been able to. So that is still very much on the agenda. And the striker, look, I don't think if Arsenal don't sign a striker, I don't think that would mean that they wouldn't compete next season. But I do feel it is very, very important that they do add to their ranks in the striker department. And I do think that Eddie Nketiah probably will go as well. So whatever happens, you need to replace him. Thank you for your questions. Appreciate that. Here's quite a few of you that I've sort of pulled together talking in response to what I was suggesting yesterday. Well, not suggesting, what I was discussing yesterday with Aaron Ramsdale coming back in for the Brentford game. This is what you guys have had to say. Ryan says, I have a feeling we may struggle on set pieces. Raya second to none at claiming crosses. Maybe the defence will have been expecting a claim, but Ramo isn't there. Saying that, I'm more than confident in Ramsdale, still a brilliant keeper. Guna Eagle is that, says, hi, Charles. I really feel it would have been a good idea for us to maybe give Ramsdale a game against Sheffield United or at least the second half, considering he's playing against Brentford. It would have been a chance for Mikel to show what he meant when he said about subbing goalkeepers a while back. Sumai Chin, I always love that name, says Ramsdale played versus Liverpool when he did all right. He was a bit flappy on the first goal, keep your own goal, but his distribution was really good. And Gorgon says, really felt that Aaron should have got run out against Sheffield United, given what you heard about goalkeepers from the manager at the beginning of the season, just to give him that extra bolt of confidence before Brentford on the weekend. I thought it would have been great. It would have been good game prep for Brentford this weekend. So a couple of you saying that. And there were some saying that in the build-up to the game. I never felt it would happen. I always thought he'd stick with David Raya for that game. He was number one. I mean, ultimately, Raya literally barely had a thing to do. He could have sat with his deck chair out for the entire game against Sheffield United. So I'm not sure how much use that would have been for Ramsdale to be in goal anyway. Probably had more of a sort of warm-up in the warm-up when Arsenal players are taking shots at him as they do than if it had he actually been in the game itself, where he would have done barely anything for 90 minutes. But interesting points. Absolutely. In terms of Gunnar Eagle there saying it would have been a chance for Mikel to show what he meant about subbing goalkeepers a while back. I never thought that was just true, to be honest. I just thought that was a press conference thing that he said that I'm sure after he said it, he probably thought I shouldn't have done that because he's dug himself a hole there, Mikel Arteta. That I never really expected it to happen. But I'm feeling all right about Ramsdale being in goal. I think it will be a little bit different. You're right. I said yesterday I wasn't sure after he sort of lost his place in the team. I thought that Ramsdale's only performances have been away from home, but plenty of you mentioned that he did play against Liverpool, as Sumai Chin did there, got in touch and said that. So thank you for flagging it. As always, you're always there to point out when I'm wrong, which is good. And he did play in that game against Liverpool, obviously, and made some really good saves in that game as well, actually. I'm feeling pretty confident about Ramsdale coming in. I think there will be a little bit of a change. And I think when you point out sort of set pieces and crossing into the box, which Raya is so, so strong at and coming and claiming, that it will be interesting to see how Ramsdale does in that regard. But yeah, I've got no real issues with that. A couple of you here in response to what I was talking about with Mika Beerith and that interview. It was a really good interview yesterday with iNews. He said, so if Eddie is sold over the summer, what do you expect in terms of transfer fees? Do you think Arsenal might actually give Mika B a chance in the squad? When last summer they sold Flo Balogun, who undoubtedly was much more of a finished product. As Zed Tom says, maybe if we can't land our main striker target, instead bring a strong forward who can play on the wings too. Beerith could become the new Eddie option in the squad after the latter is sold. Although I guess you can argue that Kai is our alternative striker already when Jesus isn't available. I just don't see it with Beerith, to be honest, next season. And I don't see him really being part of the squad. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's just a hunch. That's not based on any information. And even in that interview yesterday, he said he hates sitting on the bench. He's not a player who wants to ever sort of really sit on the bench. He just wants to be playing all the time. So I just don't think he even would probably want to come back and just be a bit part option on the bench from time to time. I don't think that would do his career any good. It just feels to me, I just think it's likely that he's going to end up going in the summer and Arsenal try and get some decent money from him after another couple of loan spells. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm not sure he's really going to be an option when it comes to the squad. And this is lastly from Kieran, says, hi Charles, do you think we need to prioritise a centre-back in the summer, or is Tommy and Kivior enough cover for a title winning side? I don't think so, no. I think there's definitely, as I mentioned earlier on, there's sort of three priority positions for me this summer that Arsenal need to go for. That is midfield, winger and a striker. I think centre-back wise, they're pretty solid. You've got Saliba, Gabriel and Kivior are the main options. You're going to have Urien Timber back by then, who can play centre-back. You've got Tomiyasu there, who can play centre-back. You've got Ben White, who can play centre-back. You've got Declan Rice, if needed, who can be played centre-back. I don't really think a centre-back is a massive, massive area that Arsenal need to target to strengthen this summer. I think they're pretty well equipped there. And the money that they are going to have, I think, can be better spent elsewhere. Right, that's it for me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time, as always. Appreciate it. Like I said, I'll be back a little bit later on today with Inside Arsenal Extra Time with James Benge from CBS, where we'll be reacting to what Mikel Arteta had to say in his pre-match press conference and turning our attentions to that game against Brentford. If you want to get involved in that, as I said, leave your comment, your question, your opinion down below in the comments section. I'll put a few of them together just before we record, included in the show. Until then, everyone, have a good day. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.